This is CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab. My name is Liz Ogumba-Regisford, your host, and thank you for tuning in once again. Now, today we are talking brand identity, and we're going to be specializing on a part of brand identity, joined by a very special guest. Now, on an article by Laura Lake, I came across on thebalance.com, she actually describes brand identity as all the components related to a product, service, company, or person. And some of these items are the name, the logo, the tagline, the tone, the typeface, the shape that creates this appeal. So brand identity is a separate category from brand image. Now, when you think about brand identity, it is the message the consumer receives from the product, the person, or the thing that you're actually branding. The brand identity will definitely connect product recognition, which is so important. Now, she also reinforces the fact that brand identity should be a consistent message received by its audience. Now, if a portion of the identity is a particular shade, consistency of the color is imperative in making sure that you maintain that product identity. So there's so many different angles to look at it from. The identity, I think the bottom line must match the image projected to the public. Now, according to 99designs.com, they also say, just like your personal identity that makes you uniquely you, your brand identity is a special sauce of your business that sets you apart from every other Tom, Dick, John, Harry, Femi, and all of them down the street. So I think we can go on and on about what brand identity means and what it means to our brands. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be unpacking. We're going to be joined by a special guest. And we'll just go on and on. But before we get too deep into this topic, we are definitely joined by our contributor, Edgy Benson, who also runs NU in New York with his Echoes from New York. Edgy, welcome to the show.
How are you, Liz?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm going to steal your thunder today and ask you what you're wearing.
Baba, you don't play, huh? What's your one? Which one is your? What's your name? Okay. I will honor you the request. Today, I'm actually wearing, and I'll take a picture, I'm wearing some really funky denim jeans and some boots. Don't ask me why we are in boots and a leather jacket and a sweater and a shirt, a collared shirt, because it's really cold. I mean, something's happening definitely. I know that global warming is changing things, but I don't know what this is lately. But anyway, I'm in boots and denim, and I'll show you what's so cool about the denim, because it's got this whole situation on the knee area, and it's got like, don't laugh, I've literally got pearls, I've got sequin, I've got embroidery, I've got this thing is like denim. This is denim love. I have to share this shortly in a few minutes, but I'm really feeling fresh. I'm happy to be here today, and I'm just so happy that we're also at this time of the year that we actually have arrived into what we call December. So thank you for joining us today. What are you wearing in exchange before we move on?
Well, today I am totally unashamed of what I'm wearing.
Can I please, Edgy, just so we save time, can I ask what you're wearing on the top? No, not pajama.
No, today I'm wearing a pair of olive green diesel skinnies. Olive green, believe it or not.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And a pair of nudie Chelsea boots from Bali. And a herringbone jacket with a hooded herringbone jacket from Ari Soho. Mm. I feel good though. A big scarf because it's so hugely cold here.
Hugely cold.
That's it.
Well, the good thing is it seems like we are all freezing, but thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show once again. And we have to plug in and introduce our contributor, Francisca Marzilli, all the way from Lisbon with her Echoes from Europe.
Hello.
Francisca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hello. Time does not matter in this world. But hello. Aloha. Ciao bella.
Ciao bella.
Or hola. But whichever way.
Hola.
Yes. Welcome to the show, Francisca. What are you wearing and who made your clothes?
Today, I'm wearing everything black.
Oh.
I'm freezing, so I have a fur, a fake fur a neck, and heel boots, and a Zara skirt, and a sweater.
Oh, nice.
No, gosh, we've got so many layers on. Today, I think we have so many layers. Besides Edgy, yes.
Does Carlo know we're going to put him through all this?
I hope he does. Don't worry, we are coming to...
I promise next week will be white.
We are coming to Carlo. No need for him to worry. But for those who are tuned in for the first time, just a quick reminder. My favorite segment at the end of the show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So feel free to share with us your who's and your why's, because we call that our red glass of... beautiful vintage wine. I'm waiting for the real wine to arrive. But anyway, that is what it is. We are on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. We are on Fashion Lab Africa on Instagram and Facebook. And we definitely would love to hear from you. So keep the tweets coming. Keep the comments coming. We'd love to definitely pick your minds and also have your thoughts around the show with us. So, Edgy and Francisca, before I introduce our special guest today, one more thing I need to just find out. If you had to mention one brand that really stands out because of its ID, like Nadima Kahan taught us, the irresistible differentiator, what would it be? Just one brand that you, and what it is that makes that brand that brand. I'll start with Francisca.
Ha, there are so many.
we want only one, and you'll tell us what it is, whether it's the packaging, whether it's the what. I don't know what it is, but we just need one from you for now. We'll get the rest later, and Edgy as well.
In this period, I like a lot Moncler. Because they resetted the whole brand, the whole packaging of them, the whole image, and I like a lot. I'm appreciating a lot.
Because of what?
Moncler. Because of the cold also. Why not?
Okay, well, Edgy,
Edgy,
let's come to you. The one brand that you can mention and what is so unique about it, and it stands out, and everybody know that. Okay, besides what you're wearing, I mean, please don't talk
besides
about Diesel. Yes, please. Thank you. Yes.
No, it would be Coke, just for the ubiquity of it, the simplicity of it. And, you know, it's not, I'm not sure about the, not the message, but just it's ubiquitous, it's simple. And I think for me it would be Coca-Cola. Yeah,
it's very nice. I think for me I would think about Bose headphones, and I say that because there's something about Bose that just is Bose. I don't know what it is. And like I said, while we unpack this topic today, we're going to touch on different angles and different elements that actually can really put a brand from like A to Z. So let's plug in that. But anyway, without taking any further time, allow me to introduce our special guest on the show today. He is the CMO of Kadika, with a specific focus on the ability to meet customers' needs, interpret their ideas, and provide original advice and solutions for their businesses. Now, Kadika's adventure in the production of hang tags and labels started in 1974 in Karpi, which is one of the historical areas in the textile industries of northern Italy. Now, their skills include a variety of experience and ability to meet customer needs, interpret the ideas, provide advice and solutions. Please allow me to introduce and welcome to the show Carlo Parisato. Welcome to the show.
Hi ho.
Hello there.
Welcome.
Hi.
How are you feeling today?
Yeah, I'm really good.
Yeah.
Today it's quite sunny days here in Italy, so I hope also to whatever you are also the same thing.
Well, what we could do is say just send some of that sunshine as we go through this hour of real good fashion talk. Hopefully, we can get influenced by that sun shining on that side of the world. But welcome to the show, Carlo, and thank you for taking time to join us today to talk about branding and brand identity and what you guys are doing with Kadika.
Before
we go on, do not think that you're not going to go through it, because we want to know who you're wearing and who made your clothes before we even go on.
Okay, I'm wearing just like a jacket, a Naples jacket, and hopefully this is time office, so I'm sweating also a tailor-made shirt, and for the pants I do wear also from Naples. What I do usually is to wear the customer clothes, you know, it's my job, of course.
It's right.
I have so many brands just to choose, and this is my hobby. I would say, yeah.
You've got a very good hobby. Could you also, when we finish up on the show, I'll send you my address so you can also send me a couple of those too many brands that you have to choose from. So I can also at least have so many brands to choose out of. But yeah, but thank you so much for joining us on the show, and congratulations on what you guys are doing with Kadika and how you're able to shape or play a role in the branding value chain generally. Now let's talk about what branding, before we even talk about what you guys are doing and what it means, what does branding actually mean to you, Carlo?
Well, actually, to me, branding is, or better, for us, branding is taking the details of what the style wants to say to the customer. It means we are not selling fabrics or something like that. We are selling accessories. It means hand tags, labels, packaging. So these are not the real part of the goods, but these are details that are really important for the style to communicate to the customer. And this is the first part, or when we supply, for instance, patches or metals, details in leather, they become part of the clothes. And so to us, we have a really we take really important things to we take care about this one, and we have to realize a real good quality for this kind of customer, because we are approaching all the time to high level brands. So that's the point, to be a real quality solution to the customer.
So let's talk about Kadika's need to set up. Why did you feel the need to set up Kadika, and what role do you think you're actually fulfilling within the fashion industry? And the reason I know that your branding goes beyond fashion and your branding work, but because this is the show that dissects the business behind fashion, we actually care about what role you play in that value chain.
I think the first thing that, or the first value added that we have, it's creativity. Burning in Italy means have too much creativity, and our purpose to the customer is to have so much creativity in materials, in new proposals, in new things, new shapes, new, everything is new every time we run a game against the time, to be the first one to propose some new materials for making special the hand tags or the label or the cloth of the customer, no? That's the point. And we are searching, we do search worldwide. We start the creativity here in Italy, but we are searching worldwide, in America, in Far East, in Africa too, and we try to have so much ideas and to discover so many materials to propose to the customer.
It must be a very highly competitive. Okay, go ahead, Francisco.
May I ask you one thing? Is every customer prepared to receive a proposal, a new proposal, or with the new creative contents, or do you think that the main trend is to take option traditional, let's say, so traditional options in terms of branding?
Yeah, actually, we should cut our customer into kind. It means once it makes his own style, and he knows really, really well what he wants about the draft or the image that he wants to realize. And our support is to supply new materials, so something new to see to the customer. And the other brands, so probably minor, they need from us a proposal, and then we just like a style counselor, because We accumulate hand tags with the labels, with the packaging. We do all the package of his brand image.
Mm-hmm.
Was it clear?
Yeah.
So what you're saying, Carlo, is your clients are quite flexible. So you've got those who kind of know what they want and they stick to it. And then there's those who you can actually manipulate a bit or influence when it comes to how to...
They need the service.
Yeah, but you know, even though they need the service, I mean, this is like a lot of these brands are quite creative brands. So obviously they also have their idea of what they actually feel should work for their brand. How do you manage that? How are you able to still influence them as strong as they are and as clear as they are in their vision as to why to actually go with your flow? Because sometimes I feel like sometimes I feel like what sometimes creative brands want may not be the translation of it to be able to make it as effective as it should be might be a bit tricky, meaning that they might think they want something that looks like something when you understand the brand and what it represents and you can actually give them a better option or a better deal or a better idea.
Actually, there is one thing to say. The stylist, the styleman, is the hardest thing to contain, because they see something yellow and probably they are thinking it will be in green, of course, or it has a shape just like a boat, and then it becomes an airplane. It's really weird, it's funny, but this is absolutely the truth, and this is the wonderful of the style man. The most of the time we have to drive them to the physical solution or the possible solution, because they think so high in a so high way that it's quite impossible to reproduce what they draw in a paper, you know. That's the point. It's really difficult, because every time we are talking together, we try to have a feedback for them, to have the real mood that they want to communicate, and then we make so many proposals that hopefully we find the solution of what he has in the mind. That's the point.
It's very interesting. So tell me, what are some of your, like, obviously you work with different brands. Would you say that fashion brands are your biggest clientele, or what's your ratio? What type of clientele do you attract and work with? Is it just fashion,
We work only with the fashion brands. It could be just like a startup or the most famous brand that you know in the world. Just not to say the names, because it should be not so cool. Yeah. Did I answer or?
Yes. So you do work with fashion brands mainly. That's what.
Yeah,
you're
only with fashion brands.
Okay. And are you guys, like, what areas or what regions are you working? Like, where is your brand present? Or where are you guys playing? What markets?
At the first beginning, we started in Italy. And now Italy is quite 20% of our turnover. It means that the other market that we are reaching is France, is USA, is the Far East, is India. Actually, we are covering worldwide, also New Zealand, Australia. We are covering worldwide with the fashion brands customer. Probably we have so much to do and more, of course, but it's an hard work just to do day by day. And the next market, I think, could be Africa. Mm-hmm. Because it's the new market for the future for all of us. We are already working in Africa, but mostly of the time with vendors. That means supplier that works for the fashion brands. But we are noting that so many little fashion brands are coming up and own fashion brands from Africa. And could be really interesting. We are studying. I'm studying how to jump into the Africa market and probably to serve some good customer or new good customer for the Africa fashion.
So well, you're in the right place now.
You're in the right shop.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really interested on you guys.
Fantastic.
Well, we hope to see you all soon here next year while we are talking more fashion and finding ways to leverage ourselves to a higher level. Edgy, do you have any input? You're very quiet there. Are you doing something that we should know, or are you?
No, I'm just listening to Carlo. You know, the thing is so funny because for me, I'm coming from both sides of the table, mm-hmm. from a design point and from a man like a service point. You know, like.
Did you recognize my picture?
Carlo, you're funny,
okay.
huh?
Yes, I did.
Let the jokes come out.
So you know, when he said it's so hard to get, you have to work really hard to for them to see what is practical, because we go through the same thing with, you know, designers when we're developing a collection. They have these amazing ideas, but, you know, you can't stitch them together. They've got to... Either the fabric just can't support that, or just from a construction point, it doesn't work. So I totally understand that point. But on the wider branding point, I mean, what he does are like the identifiers, you know, for a brand, you know, and those are seriously important. I spent the whole of last week in Atlanta with the guy that does all our branding. And dress, and all the talk was just about I'm sorry guys, the conversation was about branding, how important it is, and you know, so branding is actually a responsibility. You know, when you put that label on that piece, you're telling the customer that they can trust you, right? That they can trust you on quality. You know, you're promising quality, you're promising whatever it is that the expectations are, which you have created by with your message. You know, that's what you're promising, and that's what branding does. It's really a promise to deliver quality, a promise to deliver whatever expectations you're creating. You know, so
yes, so I
give you an example. For instance, if I see if you find the label, the woven label that you find on your neck, no?
Yes.
And the one that stretches, it's totally different than ones that doesn't.
Yes.
But it's totally different, and it costs, of course, and it has a way of producing totally different.
Because yes.
One is for mass market, of course, and it's okay for them. To us, it's really important to have a certain quality in our proposal.
I was going to say
you do when you get back with your clothes, you take off your label, and if it doesn't stretch, probably you are very proud to see written Prada or something like that, and you say it doesn't stretch, it's really cool to have it.
I was going to say do people actually still use those scratchy cheap labels? Like do brands actually still use that?
Of course, if you go mass market, you're gonna run into
Edgy, not the scratchy, not the scratchy
I'm
ones.
I'm not joking.
Tell me one. Tell me which one. Tell me which brand.
No, I'm not gonna. I'm not knocking Bangladesh or anybody, but I'm just saying, you can go mass market and you can find basically mass market. If you want to pay $2 for a dress, they're gonna give you a $2 dress. Ooh. So of course,
a $2
and then a 10 cents label,
a 200 cent label.
Yeah,
exactly.
No,
Okay.
It's respectable for this kind of market because the price is totally important. Well, for the fashion brand, it's really important also the price, but the high price justify. All the materials that are using for the dress, for the clothes, and also for the accessories that has to be in the same way of the fabric or something, or the yarns that they use.
Yes.
Carla, I was going to say branding goes a long, long way. And one of the things I'm curious about, and I'm sure our listeners are as well, is what areas would you say Kadika focuses on? Because branding is so vast. I mean, what would be the key areas that you focus on when it comes to a brand? Around branding?
Well, actually, we are focusing when we say branding in hand tags, labels, and packaging. It means what you see around the clothes, mm-hmm. and it has to be absolutely in line with the style of the clothes. We do supply also some accessories too, but this is not exactly branding, because patches for the next season, you will mm-hmm. see so many patches, wide yes. patches, wherever you can imagine they will be. Yes. And this is also branding, but this is a service in categories of patches, materials, and whatever they want. So yes. for us, branding means, okay, what the customer can say of our product. And they have to be sure that the articles are really a quality article. That's it.
It's great. You know, I was going to say, now, obviously, there's a lot of tips we can share with our listeners today of how to successfully implement good branding for your business, for their businesses. And one of the things that I want to touch on, and also just kind of see how Kadika responds to mm-hmm. this, is I will say for sure, you know, for brands, obviously, to avoid mimicking the look or the feel of big brands. So what happens is you find brands coming up and saying, okay, I'm a brand and I'm building. But when you look at their brand, and observe it through time, you actually feel like you're looking at a sort of mimic of Gucci, or you're looking at a mimic of Valentino. It's just a mimic. So there's really no original story around it. Do you have times yeah. where you get clients who say to you, that yes, this is my brand A, but I want to have it look like, I want the branding to look like B or C or D, and then how do you actually manage that? And how do you help them, you know, be able to still come up with something that's authentically them and theirs without necessarily making another copycat Gucci paste?
Well, actually, we do have that kind of customer, but and we supply them, we serve them, making so many proposals, but respecting the first brand that that they are watching at. You said, okay, I'm no one brand and I'm looking for Gucci, or the style of Gucci, sorry. Probably we will help them to be close, but never endeavor like them. You know, because we are respecting our first customer. Mm-hmm. All of them are customer, and our creativity has to be so much smart to be very close to them, but not the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
This is a respect for the other customer.
Yes, you know? Have to respect that.
Yeah.
Edgy, how do you manage?
I think that in both senses.
Yeah.
You respect the both sides.
Yeah, of course. They will become original in the same way.
Yes.
Also looking at a major one.
We go through the same thing in production and development too, where we find some clients, they want to just copy something. Maybe mostly like mass market clients, they want to copy something. Mm-hmm. And we tell them, well, you can't really do it this way. Why don't we move it around this way and try to show them how they can be original from an idea that they saw, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, it's I think
it's challenging also.
But knowing, being like Carlo and knowing how you can guide the customer, because a lot of the customers, they are also looking for identity. They don't even know it's branding, but it is what it is, you know?
what we have done also in the past June, we bought a trend studio. The name is A plus A. It's quite international, with Andrea Dall'Olio. And because for us, it's really important to understand before everything, to be in the right trend, because they are producing, this kind of studio is producing trends for the next future. It means not dressing, but patterns, materials, colors the next year. They are thinking to the trend 2 years before. And we start to think to our collection, to our proposal to the customer, 1 year and a half before the season, of course.
Of course,
we have to be sure that we are really in line with this kind of trend, because we have to propose to our customer that they are thinking 1 year before the season. And then this is just like a train with a wagon. And if everybody is in line of this, probably we reach absolutely the target of the new customer of the new trend for the next season.
It's very interesting. Yeah. Now, as we, I just want to touch on something else. I think, again, as we think about ways to build the brands, I think that one of the ways that people need to also pay attention to, or brands need to pay attention to, is you think about the old way of stamping the logos and branding on everything, like, you know, like it used to be. And today is a new day, and that's not, that is actually not cool, because the consumer we are dealing with today is more curious, is more interested, wants to engage, wants to be able to have time to understand more and find out more about the brand. There's a mystery in finding more about a brand than having a brand with the OMO all packed and all slapped all over it that is just like, gosh, what else is there to be, no, really, to be done? So I don't know if you, first of all, you guys agree with me, but how do you, Carlo, and obviously Edgy, who also touches on the branding part of business a bit, how do you manage that? Because some people might think the more visible and the more replicated the brand is on everything, maybe the more powerful would it be. How do you manage that, and what's your thought? And I'd love to hear, obviously, from Francisca and Edgy as well.
It's so interesting, because for us right now, we're working on our brands that are coming out. And when I spent this week with this last week with Andres, what I learned and what we focus on, so little things like labels, right? Like whatever prints that you make, you put in that identify the garment or the item, is that sometimes just the positioning of it, just a single position, right, based on how it is placed, can really differentiate the product, you know? Yeah. It shows so much class and so much just novelty in placement. So that's what we kind of look at. But the replication all over and all over, I mean, unless you're doing a signature print like Gucci and Vuitton, which sometimes you can't help has to be all over the place. But other than that, I think placement is so important. I'm not saying it only has to be minimalist, but I think
less is more.
Placement has to be, yeah, but you have to think about it. It cannot just be like you slapped it on. It has to feel like you actually thought about it. Yeah,
What we are doing, just to answer to your question, it's using also technology. It means a woven label can have a chip, for instance, inside with the NFC technology. That means if you tap with your iPhone, this kind of chip, you can have so many information about the case history is made by Nike, that if you tap the NBA jacket or shirt, you can see the next game in the week. Every time you tap, you have an update of the game that they are doing, and also they can give also a playlist every time new. It means that we are approaching, or we have two kinds, mostly of them, two kind of customers. Millennials that are very friendly to the technology, and they need to be fitted with the new things every day, every time, and they need to have to dream about everything, because they are so smart and so fast with the information, and probably this is a way of them, for them. But also we have the over 50, that is a new future. We probably 20 years ago or something like that, our parents thought, okay, I'm 50 years old, I'm near to be old, no? Now it's totally different. People divorce at 50 years,
oh,
and they discover true. A new life. No, it's absolutely a new trend, and a new class of customer. Really interesting, because they have money, they are not so young, they are still money, and they can spend so much more money. And probably our parents thought, okay, I have to save the money for my kid that has to be in university or something like that. Now they say, okay, my kids have to do his life, and I do my own life, because my view is to be 100 years old.
You're right.
Yeah.
So technology help us just to feed them with the contents, information, new things, probably proposal of new dresses. I bought a shirt, and then in this kind of step, I can find the pants, the trouser that can be matched with my shirt. But it seems cool. Weird talking about this, but it is absolutely part of the brand image.
Yes, a
huge part. This is not producing a garment. We are producing an idea, a dream, to sell to the customer.
Mm. That matches the lifestyle and everything.
And also the marketing, our clients can have so many information. Where do they are, what they are doing, if they are, I have, for instance, I got an exposition in which I saw, okay, a customer in Hong Kong probably has to see shirts, but in New York at the same time has to see a garment, a really really warm garment, because they are a totally different playmate. So it's really important, and they can have this kind of information by tapping an iPhone or whatever, a Samsung
or
whatever,
an app or whatever. And it's very interesting. Yeah. Now, speaking about customers and consistency when it comes to our tone, because consistency is not just on the label, it's not just on the packaging, it's on everything. And we want to make sure that, obviously, as you continue to build your brands out there, you want to make sure that, you know, your customers are aware of exactly what to expect from you without it becoming so different. Otherwise, then when you lose that consistency, then that is really... it gets confusing for the consumer or the customer. So for me, the question also, or the interest for me to know from you, Carlo, and Edgy and Francisca can also come in, is how do you keep it consistent? When you spoke about, we were speaking about colors earlier, and saying, for example, a client who wants, say, they want yellow, but then something's happening and it's going towards green, but then they kind of think they know what they want, but they don't know what they want. So my question now is, with regard to consistency, how do you keep it that, for example, if you have a brand that you've been working with for about 5 years and they want to rebrand on the fifth year, how do you, or what are some of the steps that you consider, what process do you go through to make sure that what happens in their 5 year mark or 6 year mark from a rebranding perspective does not lose consistency of their tone generally as a brand? Because that's very tricky, how people rebrand and suddenly something that looks like Omo is now looking like Lux, or I mean whatever, you know.
First of all, this is our challenge, you know. Yeah. And if they want to rebrand, we are so lucky that we have only 40 years, absolutely more, of experience and sampling to probably 1,000 or enough customers around the world. So we can have so many ideas from the past based on the next trend of the future. And then we can do this kind of proposal. If they say yellow, okay, we can absolutely cover them of things in yellow that could be inspiring for them to find the new relabeling. Did I answer to your question?
So in a nutshell, yeah. Sorry. So there's no one way that you do this. You just have to basically look and reference what the brand is about, and then like come up with a new direction being so different.
First of all, we have to understand the mood of the customer, the style. I'm sorry. It could be active. It could be just like a jeanswear, or it could be very elegant. It could be in whatever he does want. But after understanding how his style is, we do the suggestion, or we make our proposal for them, in which kind of color that they want. And second of them, if we understand really well the style, we can match also the materials. What I said before, for instance, satin with the background in structured, that is just like a really thinny woven label, instead of another one with rubber, it's a total different proposal. One is absolutely elegant and the other one is absolutely active. That's the point. The first thing is, or the best challenge is to understand how the style of the customer is, because sometimes they give us only pictures and then make your proposal. That's it.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say, Carlo, for a brand that you've been working with for so long, I mean, for sure, you already understand them, you understand their personality, their mood and everything. So even if they're rebranding, it wouldn't be so far off from who they are as a brand already, isn't it? Or is it?
We speak a lot with the style man.
Okay.
Just to understand what he does have in the mind. Usually he say, okay, I want to push in rubber, or I want to be a little bit more active, or something like that. If they want to rebrand, or they have already a clear idea of what they want, and so it's absolutely easy to us. Or if they have only some idea in mind, we are talking together so much, and then we try to fit what they have in mind. And probably they make our proposal, they see, okay, cool, but I want this different to that, this different to that. It will be never and ever, I promise, exactly what they have in mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But this is our job, you know.
Yes. I was going to say, because rebranding,
and you recognize the situation. I know that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, rebranding is such a conscious decision that by the time the designer gets to Carlos or to me or to anybody that they want to work with, they have some solid ideas. Basically, they just need a bit of guidance in terms of how workable the idea is, what needs to be done to make it work. Sometimes you have a better idea, and they might like it, you know, maybe just a little touch that they like, you know,
and they like
but they mostly have a very conscious idea where that's why they want to rebrand anyway, because they have the idea.
I was gonna say there's brands out here. That's why I agree with you, Edgy, when you say it's a decision that you really have to rethink before you get into, unless something is really happening, because I've seen brands out here that have actually rebranded, and first of all, it's a turn off. I don't know what it is. It's about consumer. It's about consumerism and the things that we love and the way that we love them. And this connection is so deep, because can you believe that a customer can walk into a store and because the tin is now orange and blue, that's already a turn off, as if the product is different. So I'm just saying, the branding is such a sensitive.
We'd be never so different, you know.
No, but it's such a personal. It's almost like you. It's almost like you need to send every consumer a letter to say, guys, just a warning. We love you. We are going to send you a free sample, and from now on, we are going orange and black. Please do not look for. And I have experienced it myself, where you walk into the aisle, and I'm looking for Marc Anthony conditioner, and I'm like, where? What the? And then the girl has to come say, oh, sorry, that's the one. And then I stand there and actually maybe don't even buy it for the day, because I'm upset, because I'm thinking that's not the one that I normally consume. And I think that the relationship that customers have with a brand is obviously, it's like a love relationship, and it grows over time. And you'll be surprised that just as basic things as colors and fonts, you know, just fonts for me is such a turn off on something. Like if something has a bad font, that is, to me, it's a cheap product. Don't tell me anything, I'm not even trying it, let's move next. So it's amazing that the smallest little things that we think are so small are actually some of the biggest parts of this component or of this branding conversation. So I want us to Carlo, I mean, for you who's in this business, obviously we wish you all the best and we look forward to seeing you here next year. And do not forget, this is live on air. I will pull out this clip, and if we don't see you here next year, it could be used against you. It could be used against you. So so hopefully we will continue to...
I will keep some clothes for you.
You will, what did you say?
I will keep some clothes for you.
Oh yes, keep the clothes and yes,
around
keep,
the brands.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes. Keep those for me. I'll send you my size too. But I think for me, I think for me, the essential thing, obviously, in branding is clarity. Based on everything we've been discussing, what's been offered, whether it's a product or a service, I think image and consistency are really playing a huge role in branding. And branding is obviously a big plan. It describes the expected results of any product or any individual, because we also know as people, we are coming out as brands, and it's very important to have that consistency, have that communication very clear so people understand what to expect and who they're dealing with. So for me, I think to you, my last parting shot would be, question to you would be, you know, for people obviously and brands who are still thinking that, oh my gosh, this branding exercise when it comes to packaging, when it comes to labels, sounds really good for the brand. However, they just think it's such an expensive exercise and maybe they feel like it's not in their budget yet. What would be your advice to brands who are sitting on the fence, looking from both sides and are aware, they actually are aware of the power of branding in this element. What's your advice to them?
Wow.
Those who are sitting and just not really sure about jumping on it.
Against me, this kind of thing. You know, advice to the size man never works.
So cool.
Okay, what works? How do you get them in?
My advice is to use all the time quality, and the feedback will be all the time okay. That's my tip.
Okay, and Edgy, what's your advice to brands who are sitting on the fence, aware of what they need, and they know that they need this, but they're still thinking? I don't know what they're thinking about, but they're still thinking.
I think they have to take their customer with them if they want to go on a journey of rebranding. I think that's very important.
Yeah, but this is not even rebranding. This is just brands who have not understood the power of it, and therefore they're still using... Their branding side of the business is not really is not looking good, and it's not matching the brand, and it's not putting them ahead.
Well, if their product, if they have the, I mean, it means they have a product out in the market. It means they have a message for their customer. They should try to just get the message across. I think it's important for the customer to understand who you are as a brand, and just give. Put the message out. I think it's important to do it.
And Francisca, what is your two cents to that person who's sitting on the corner with their brand, knowing that the brand is ready to get to the next step, but they're just thinking, ah, oh, that's another expense I'm not getting into. I would rather produce more clothes.
I think that the most important thing is to transmit, to understand the target of the market, and interpret it as much as possible, to try to match as possible as much as possible the aim of them. The market has to be to identify himself with the brand. I have a lot of I can like a lot of things on a newspaper or on a magazine or on a window of a shop, but if I don't like the brand, I could mention some. I don't buy, really, because it doesn't match my taste.
Definitely.
It doesn't match my concept. I don't know my personality. My suggestion would be authentic, of course, but also try to interpret your market.
Yep, For those who are tuned in, this is the conversation we've been having today, joined by Carlo Parisato from Cadico. We've been talking to Francisca Marzilli. We've been talking to Edge Benson. And just touching base on what branding and branding identity really means and what it can actually do for a brand. If you know what's better for you, like they say in Nigeria, if you know what's better for you, go for it. If you don't know, I don't know. But it's really been a great conversation. We are on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. We're on Fashion Lab Africa on Instagram and Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. And we are on www.fashionlabafrica.com for everything else that you want to do, however way you want to connect. So, Carlo, thank you very much for tuning in.
Thank you.
Please share with our listeners how they can connect with you, either the website or the social media handles.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
How can our listeners connect with you?
How can they?
How can our listeners connect with you, whether it's a website or social media?
From the website, it's absolutely easier. Because if you go through, you can tap and then I can hear you.
Okay, just share with them their website, please. Please share with us your website, Carlo.
I'm sorry. www.cadica.com.
Thank you very much. Now, we are at that last time of the show, which is my favorite segment called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why?
Wow.
There we go.
So
it's who would you want to dress and why? Ting ling ling, and we're coming straight to Francisca. We'll start with you. Who do you want to dress and why?
May I see?
I'd like to dress.
You can.
Okay.
You can.
Okay. I'd like to dress Kim Kardashian.
Ooh.
That could be really, really cool. Influencer. Mm-hmm. And she can dress also sport things and elegant things. So it could be really interesting for every kind of my customers. Could be a good choice to me.
Very nice. Okay. And Francisca, who would you want to dress and why?
A very different kind of woman this week. The Meryl Streep that is in cover of the Vogue America of December, and because I like her a lot, and she would not need my work, but I would need to dress her.
Okay. So thank you very much. Edgy, who would you like to dress and why?
Today I'm seriously dressing my little niece Barbie. We have a dance to go to today. We have everything except the pink scarf, so we are going to get her a pink scarf for today's dance.
Well, that's very good. I hope that you get it and send us a picture so we can also tweet
and you
it
leave.
And today I want to dress Penelope Cruz, because I think she's one of these hot Spanish mamacitas who just like wears she wears everything so elegantly. She's still got some sass, she's got some grace, she's got some sex appeal, she's got that whole less is more. Very effortlessly, she walks in and you feel her presence. So I think I want to work with Madame Cruz. And then for those of you who are tuned in, thank you very much for tuning into the show. We love to hear from you. And until next week, thank you to Edgy. Thank you to Francisca. Thank you, Carlo. All the best.
Thank you.
Until next week, it is peace.
Thank you,
love.
Carlo. Thank you, Liz. Everybody.
Thank you.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.